This week's parasha is Parashas Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe et kol adat panei Yisrael, all the congregation of the children of Israel. He brought them, congregated them, brought them together. Vayomer aleihem, he told them, Eile hadvarim, these are the words or the matters, asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam, which God commanded to do them. What are these matters? Sheshit yamim, 6 days, te'aseh melacha, do work. U'beyom ha'shvi'i, on the seventh day, yerechem kodesh, Shabbat Shabbaton, a rest of rests, la'ashem, to God. Kol ha'oseh bo melacha yumat. Anyone who does melacha on that day, chas v'shalom, is a death penalty. And then it says, lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvoteichem, Beyom HaShabbat. You shouldn't burn fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. So now, Rashi says that Vayakel Moshe, when would this occur? This occurred L'macharat Yom HaKippurim, after Yom Kippur. In other words, after the Pius, after we had the Pius on Yom Kippur,
what is it?
We were forgiven of the Chet HaEgel, the final forgiveness on Yom Kippur, which is Kapara Deres, right? It's a cleaning of our sins for generations. It's a cleaning of the sin of the Chet HaEgel. We now had the Tzivui of the Mishkan, to command the Mishkan. So it seems that the Mishkan, and according to Rashi at least, the Machlokes of Ramban argues, but we'll see, it's not such an argument. The Mishkan's commanding to have was after the Chet HaEgel and after the Pius of the Chet HaEgel, after we were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel. The Gro says, Derech Agav, we have a minig. In after Yom Kippur, there's a minig written in the Ramor. Straight after Yom Kippur, we mit asek. We get involved in the mitzvah of building a sukkah. Says the Gro, the concept of sukkah is Dira B'Tachtonim, is the Kodesh Baruch who is living with us in the lower worlds. And that's the concept of the Mishkan, i.e. the building of the Mishkan and the concept of Sukkah, right? The same things. So Sukkah, we say, Zeichel Anenei HaKavod, is the remembrance of the Anenei HaKavod. And the Mishkan Be'etzim was this Hashrat Shechina in Klal Yisrael. Dira B'Tachtonim. For Sukkah, it's a very, very special time. We have Ke'en Ha'aras HaMishkan. We have basically somewhat the same concept of the building of the Mishkan. Then the next parasha, the next pasuk says, Sheshet Yamim, says Rashi Sheh. Hikdim lehem, it put first Azar Shabbos, the command of keeping Shabbos, L'tzivui melecha HaMishkan, because straight afterwards we're going to get Vayomer Moshe kol adat bnei Yisrael lemor, Ze hadavar shetzivei Hashem lemor, Kichu meitchem truma kol nedid lev, Tchelet ba'agaman, v'chule, v'chule, building the Mishkan. The tzivui for building the Mishkan. So why it puts the tzivui Shabbos before melecha HaMishkan? Loma, to teach you, she'ene doche et Shabbos. The Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, isn't pushing away Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't need Mishkan. There's another question here. It says, "Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshvoteichem v'yom Shabbat." Don't burn a fire. This is the only malacha that was taken out of klal malachas to teach us about the malachas. We shouldn't have fire on Shabbos. Why should we have fire on Shabbos? So Gemara Rashi also brings here machlokas. There are those who say, "Lelav yatzar comes to fire, making fire on Shabbos only a lav." Tell you that each malach that you do on Shabbos is a separate Issa and a separate Chatas. Right? So now the Rishonim going to town. Why Davka fire? So I think there's a Ramban here. The Ramban says, because you might have thought that just in Yom Tov you have Melechet Ochel Nefesh, and the whole purpose of a fire is to heat you, and to give you onig leguf, you know, you make warm water, you have baths, right? It's to mitaneg the guf. And since Shabbos is an inyan of onig, an inyan of physical pleasure, you might have thought that fire would be permitted on Shabbos. That says the Ramban. The Rabbeinu Bachya says, the fire is that which is creative. All movement, all things which are made, combustion engine, the sun, fire is the power, is that which brings the creation in the world, right? So that's why here we were told Shabbos is a day of not physical creation. That's represented in Lo Tevaru Esh B'chol Moshevotech V'Yom HaShabbat. Therefore, all the melachos which represent this creativity, right? Lo Tevaru is, to an extent, the creativity of mankind should be mushbat, should be stopped. If I remember, I think there's a Zohar here also that says Lo Tevaru. What does it mean? Esh of Gehinnom is not, there's no fire in Esh of Gehinnom, there's no Gehinnom on Shabbos, i.e. all the neshamas who are getting cleaned up down in Gehinnom get taken out, and there's Lo Tevaru Esh on Shabbos. And says the Rebbeinu Chaya, so Motzi Shabbos, the first malacha we do is with fire, because that's the creative, that's the Havdalah, right? Now we're doing the malacha of fire, right? We're going back to our creative aspect, and also the Esh Shogihinam, Yom Chol, Yom Chol, comes back. If we look in this parasha, we see that Tzivui, or building the Mishkan, is the building first of the Mishkan. It says et haMishkan, Pasuk Yud Aleph, et Ohalo, Michseu, et Krasav, Krashav, Brechav, Amudav, v'chulei. And then it goes into, and then et Aaron v'Badav, then it goes into the Kelim, then the building of the Kelim. Whereas we see in Parshas beforehand, Parshas Truma, right, it starts first with the Kelim, and then it ends up with the Mishkan. So this question is asked. The Gemara in Brachas is brought in Rashi later on. Also, question asked here is, this whole parsha is like, it's just being repeated. Why being repeated? And why the order, first here the Mishkan, and then the Kelim, and beforehand, the Kelim, and then the Mishkan. So this question is a question asked in a Gemara, and Rashi brings it in the beginning of Pikudei. Rashi there says, Pasuk Kaf Beis, Ubetzalel ben Uri ben Chul Mati Yehuda, Aset Kol Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. What commanded Hashem to Moshe? What do you mean Hashem et Moshe? Asher Tziva Oto Moshe in Ketiv. It's not says what Moshe told him to do. Can Ela Kol Asher Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe? What Hashem told Moshe? Afilu Dvarim Shelo Amar Lo Rabo. Even those things with his rabbi, Moshe didn't tell him his schema dato la mashinema la Moshe. His das was masking what was told actually to Moshe b'Sinai. Ki Moshe tzivah l'batzerel tchila lasot tchila kelim. First to do the kelim v'chakach hamishkan. Like we see in Parshas Truma, right? But what happened? Bezalel said, Amalo Bezalel, minega olam, the way of the world, lasot tchila bayis, first to make a house, v'chakach misim kelim b'tocho, and afterwards to put Kalim inside of it. Amalo kach shematim pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Moshe betzel kel. You were in the tzel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayit. I.e., you were there. You knew what he said. Ki bevadai kach tzivali HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Definitely that was a command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ken asa mishkan tchila v'chakach asa Kalim. That's it. We have this whole parsha repeated. Why is this repeated? First, Mishkan and then Kelim, right? V'yakel Pekudi is a repetition to teach us Mishkan and Kelim. And really, no real differences in the actual building of the Kelim or anything like that, right? So, why is that? Now, we said this was after Yom Kippur. This is after the Chet HaEgel. So, there's two concepts that are really being understood here. We have to understand these concepts. Rabbi Trivis explained this yesterday. So I'm going to explain it. I'm going to explain it more or less what he says, but obviously in a much simpler way. Moshe was shaykh to Luchot Rishonos. Moshe Rabbeinu was shaykh to Pe'al Pe'a Debebo. He spoke to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aspergloria, Me'ira, clear vision. There was a shaila, there's a question. He went straight to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he got an answer. There was complete clarity of the Torah of Moshe. Moshe was shaykh to Luchos Rishonos. Moshe was shaykh to the first luchot, the first tabernacle, the first tablets. After Yom Kippur, which was Kabbalas HaTorah for us, which was Luchot Shniot, we had a tzivui of building the Mishkan. The first building, the way Moshe Rabbeinu envisioned, understood the building of the Mishkan was first Kelim, then Mishkan. What do you mean first Kelim, then Mishkan? The way after Luchot Shniot, our Matan Torah is first Mishkan and then Kelim. What's the difference? When you have a house, right? A house in of itself without Kelim is not really useful. I mean, it shelters you, protects you. But your usage in the house is the things you have in the house. You have chairs to sit on, you have a table to write on, or to eat on, or whatever. The Kelim actually make the house much more useful than the actual building itself. The actual use of the house is more the kelim than the house. The house is a protection. The house is the way you use the kelim. Minaga olam, first the person builds a house, but then he has kelim. What does kelim represent? A kli represents functionality. That's what a kli is. It's a functionality. The kli gives the house its functionality. When we have kelim, kelim represent, in the Mishkan, represent forms. The Aaron represents a certain form of something. Represents Torah and Derech Eretz. The Aaron, the Aaron represents Torah, Keter Torah, the Shulchan Malchus. Everything, the Mizbach Keteres Kahuna, they represent perfect forms in Klal Yisrael. The main thing in the Mishkan were the kelim. The Mishkan was just there to, in order for the kelim to be expressed. Same thing in a house. You don't have a usage from the roof. The roof protects. The house protects. But the usage, the main aspects in the house are the kelim. You understand what I'm saying? All vessels of usage. In theory, you could live outside. If it was no raining, no sun, no nothing, it was perfect conditions. Living outside with all your vessels would be perfect. The only reason you need a house, because the conditions outside aren't good for all types of life. Right? That's all you need a house for. So building kelim means that your connection with functionality, your connection to form is much greater, i.e. your connection to the form that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressing in the world is direct. Mishkan means, when you build Mishkan first, it means you need a protection, or you need something else to help you, to enable you to use your kelim. That's what a home means, a protection means, a Mishkan means. It's something protecting you or enabling you that you can use your kelim, that you can get there. So, Luchot Rishonot, the first Luchot represented form in of itself. We had a clarity. Moshe Rabbeinu had that clarity. He could go to the form in of themselves. He didn't need an intermediary. He didn't need a way to be protected before he could reach the form. You understand? He was there in of itself. He could reach to the kelim and understand the kelim in of themselves. The building first of the Mishkan represents that we can't reach the form of the kelim without the protection of the Mishkan. What's that protection? The protection of the Mishkan represents that this house, this home, enables this kelim to be useful. I'm protected here, or I'm sheltered here, or my kelim is sheltered here, that I can use them in their proper form. I.e., the world of Moshe Rabbeinu is a world of form, a world of complete interaction with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, clear interaction with the form, a very clear connection of expression, of functionality of a person to his creator. That's what Luchot Rishonot represent. Luchot Shniot require, there is not a clear connection. You need prerequisites. You need protection. You need ways in order to come to be able to use the functionality of the kelim, of the vessels. So Rabbi Trivitz explained there's two aspects in life. the world, the Mishkan, this protection, what's this protection? The Mishkan represents process. Why does it represent process? We can't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We can't, Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Pe'a Pe'i Dabebo, Aspeklora Me'iri. He had a complete revelation, as much as a man can see, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Panim will panim dibe Hashem. He spoke to Kodesh Baruch Hu face to face. Face to face he spoke to Kodesh Baruch Hu. As much as a man can understand. Luchot Shnius represents Teresh Baal Peh. Luchot Rishon is Teresh Bichtav. With Amal and Torah. With toil. This is a Tanchum in Parshas Noach. Right? Since that's the case, since the Kodesh Baruch Hu is something that's beyond us, and we need a Mishkan, we need a way, a system, in order to reach the Kelim, in order to use those Kelim, to come to Hasaga, to an understanding of a Kodesh Baruch Hu as is represented in the Kelim in the world. Those Kelim represent the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Dira B'tachtonim. It's Ki'ilu, we're visiting Kodesh Baruch Hu's house. And the Kelim in those houses is the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kibiyachol using to be expressed in the world. Those are Kodesh Baruch Hu's functional vessels in the world. In order for us to have an understanding of that Kelim, we need a home. We need something which enables us to use those Kelim. What's that? Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never be reached, the only way we can understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world is through a process of intellect, a process of toiling and understanding and reaching. We can never reach. It's always a concept of process. Mishkan represents process. Kelim represents Hasaga, reaching, understanding, right? As a matana, i.e. there's a concept of process, the concept of Hasag, of reaching. There has to be a Matan Torah before there's a Tzivi of Mishkan. The Ramban also explains this. The same Ha'ar, the same Shechina, which was on Har Sinai, that's the Shechina, that's Bein HaBadim, on the Aaron. That's the Ha'ar of Torah. The Mishkan represents that connection to the Kav, to this line, which represents God's Dira B'tachtonim, which is Bein HaKruvim. The whole purpose of the Torah, the whole purpose of the Mishkan, is to have Hasaga in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke, when after the Chet, the Mishkan was outside, and Moshe Rabbeinu would talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bein HaKruvim, that was still the aura of Torah, that was Pe'al Pe'al, the Bebo, Moshe Rabbeinu. Our only Hasaga of Torah is through the Mishkan. Without the Mishkan, we have no Hasaga. The Kelim also represent, to whatever extent, levels of the Hasaga, of our understanding of the Torah. We just need Mishkan first, because we need process in order to understand the Torah. Without process, we can't understand the Torah. For us, life is a process. There's no Hasaga without process for us. There's no reaching of an understanding without process. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu, who had a Hasaga by just going to Kodesh Baruch Hu and talking Pe'al Peh. We need toil, Teresh Baal Peh, toiling in order to reach our Saga of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And without process, for us that's about Zara, because we don't understand anything. So if we say we understand without understanding, that's saying that the understanding of the world is finite, and that itself is about Zara. The world is a revelation of something beyond us. Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ne'elam is hidden in the world. There's a depth to the world that's hidden from us. To reveal that depth, to reveal a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, requires process, requires toil. That's our avoda. We can never reach it. Now, let's go back to Shabbos. The only day of the only time we have a tzivui of no Mishkan is Shabbos. That means Shabbos is not a day of process. Shabbos is a day of Hasaga. Shabbos, we made it. We reached. Why? Because we have Sheshit Yamim Ta'aseh Melacha. That's what it says here. 6 days you do work. The 6 days are the world, you're in the world of process, the world of toiling. And that's what it says. Vehechinu. Shabbos requires Hachana. Shabbos requires process in order to get to Shabbos. Misha mechin the Shabbos, someone who prepares for Shabbos, ochel b'Shabbos. He eats. Shabbos is a time of onig. It's an onig, a physical onig we have, but it's an onig of spiritual onig. The hasaga we reach on Shabbos, what we reach on Shabbos is a matana. That's why Shabbos is matana tova he gave to Klal Yisrael. That's why the same Gemara that speaks about matana tova, it speaks about Shabbos, right? It speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, Karan Orpanov. The Orpanov, the light that came out from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Shabbos represents the Torah of itself. That's why Shabbos was given. The Torah was given on Shabbos. Shabbos means Hasaga. Shabbos means a Matana. That's why Shabbos itself is Matana Tova. The only two things which are Matana Tova is Torah and Shabbos, because they're the same thing. Shabbos is the Matana of Torah. Shabbos is Kabbalah Sotera. And Shabbos represents, just as you have the 6 days of the week, you have Shesh Alfei Shana, Hayafei Alma, 6,000 years, and the 7,000 is Shabbos. Shabbos represents Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the Hasaga. Is we're going back to Luchas Rishonis. We're going back to Hasaga of the Torah. You understand? I.e., Tzadikim Yoshvim Vatorotem, the crowns of the head, V'neni Miziv Hashchina, and they have Hana from the Ziv Hashchina. That's Onig Shabbos. That's what happens to us on Shabbos. The Neshama Yeteru you get on Shabbos is connected Naaseh V'Nishma. Aktarim, the crowns of Matan Torah, which we lost because of the Cheder Egel, through our toil during the 6 weeks, we reach whatever we reached. Those Ktarim, that Karen Orpanov, which is on the Shomer Yeteh, which we receive on Shabbos. That's why it says this Dafka here. And that's why we don't need a Mishkan on Shabbos. That's why we don't have a Tzivir Mishkan on Shabbos. Shabbos is the Torah itself. Shabbos is the Hasag itself. The process is the 6 days. That's why at Matan Torah, when we reach the sea at Matan Torah, we didn't need a tzivu according to Rashi of the Mishkan. And even, I told you, even according to the Ramban, who says there was a tzivu of Mishkan even with Matan Torah, that's because Matan Torah wasn't given in a proper way. Matan Torah, we only spoke to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to Jewish people, peh al peh, was only the first two Dibros. And because of that, that was the Shorish of the Chet HaEgel. That's the Shorish we did in intermediary. And that's why, even according to the Ramban, we had a Tziv of the Mishkan, even before the Chet HaEgel. Because in Matan Torah itself, we weren't on the level that we reached Tchias HaMesim with regards to all Aseres HaDibros. So I'm explaining a little bit the Chet HaEgel. Can't go into it completely, a little bit. Matan Torah represented the relationship with the Jewish people. It was chuppah. Parkagigas was a chuppah. It was the relationship with our Creator. Chet, that relationship represent kiviyochol, so to speak, this concept of kav and eagle. The kav came into the world, i.e. Kodesh Baruch Hu joined into the world as a connection of a male to a female, to the Jewish people. We were now his expression in the world. We were his female in the world. That was a perfect connection, Matan Torah was supposed to be. And then the world would have gone, Moshe would be the Yemot Mashiach, come to Eretz Yisrael, Olam Haba. We're going straight into Olam Haba. No Mishkan, no Kelim. Straight. The Chet HaEgel was the removal of Matan Torah. Egel is a lashon of eagle, circle. Circle without the kav. It represented the physical world. A circle represents everything which is physical is in the circular form. Man is upright, standing. Everything else is like in circular form. That's why the Yerushalmi, I heard this from Moshe, Yerushalmi, anything in water becomes round, like pebbles, with no sharp edges. Anything which is physical is like rounded. Everything which is man-made has edges. You know, well, everything you have has edges. It's man-made. In reality, there's no things which have like edges. They all get circled. Okay. And so the Chet HaEgel brought man to his physicality. That's Avodah Zarah. Man's lusts, his desires, man living for that is living without the connection of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now man, the Chet of the Egel was, they needed an intermediary. need something physical to represent the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was Avodah Zarah. That was a chet of Avodah Zarah. Need something physical to connect the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That was replaced with the Mishkan. Now there was going to be a dira b'tachtonim. There was going to be a place in which we could envisage the divine presence. Kiviyochel, it's not such a simple thing. It's still a spiritual thing. But kiviyochel, man needed some sort of intermediary place which represents Hashkiyah Shechina. Beforehand, each person, or Moshe, when he was teaching Torah, each person represented the divine presence in his heart, in his life. He didn't need a place which represented Kodesh Baruch Hu's divine presence. Now that we know that Shabbos is this concept of Hasaga, of reaching this Matana of the Ha'ara of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, after we spent 6 days of Melacha, of Avoda, right? Now we understand Eish represents that which is the Koach in the world, the process in the world. That's what Eish represents. Eish represents the ability to... Everything work, combustion engine, the sun, like we said, everything process, everything which is koach, bringing befall into koach, right? That's Eish. So Eish represents this process. That's why Dafka on Shabbos, the Torah has to tell us, Lo Tevaru Eish. Shabbos is a day of no process. Now, why is that also? That Shabbos is a day there's no Ra in the world? Because process means choice. Process means I can choose bad or good. Without the ability to choose bad and good, there's no process. Process has to be fighting the Ra. There has to be the ability to choose Ra or choose good. And when in the process of choosing good, in the process of creating a world of good, in that process, a process of coming close to my Creator, on Shabbos, then I get that matana of reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the tefillahs on Shabbos. Till Mincha, you reach the highest hasaga, the highest level of matana of the Yonishama. And that's what Shabbos represents. The Chet of Adam HaRishon, this Rabbi Shulis explained yesterday, the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the world went into the lower, the higher worlds went into the lower worlds. Explained basically, Yetzirah went to Asiyah, whatever these higher worlds went into the lower worlds. Shabbos, the lower worlds go into the higher worlds. That's the concept. There's no Ra. The lower worlds of Ra are mitbatel, are nullified into the higher worlds. That's why the Eish of Gehinnom is no longer. There's no Ra. There's no Bechir of Tov and Ra. The Bechir of Shabbos of Tov and Tov. Because Shabbos is when we're receiving the Tov, the Hasaga of Tov, that reaching of the goodness. That's why Shabbos is the day of Oneg. There's no Melacha. It says, Asara Sidura Lepas, the Mishnah in Shabbos, right? It's a Mishnah. It says, you have the Melacha. So it starts with 10 processes of making bread. The 10 processes of making bread, before Adam HaRishon was Chote, used to pluck bread from the tree. The only day where we have bread, we have challah, we have the broth of bread, that we don't prepare it, is on Shabbos. The 6 days of the week, we do the melacha of preparing bread. There's a 10 processes of making bread. You take the wheat, before the chet was a loaf of bread. It was a tree, you plucked off the wheat. Now we take this vegetable called wheat and we do all the malachas. We ripe it, we willow it, all those things. We burr it, we tochen it, we grind it, we make it into a dough, we bake it. All those 10 processes in making bread, those are processes of separating good from bad. Or preparing it, or creating it. That's the process of melacha. Shabbos is muchan. Asher tafu afu. What you need to bake, you bake. Bashtu tevashtu. What you need to cook, cook. Shabbos is all prepared. It's a time of oneg. There's no birur of ra. There's no separation of the ra to bring out the good. That's why there's no Bor on Shabbos, right? Shabbos is the day of Kulo Tov, of Kulo Asaga. That's why Shabbos is a time of learning things which are Kulo Asaga. That's why there are more brings, a certain chokhmas that a person learns dafka on Shabbos. Shabbos is only a day of achana, of reaching onig Shabbos. If there's a preparation, just as in the physical world, if you don't make your challahs on Shabbos for Erev Shabbos or buy them, or you don't prepare your food, there's nothing to eat on Shabbos. You have to prepare for Shabbos.
Right.
The level of our spiritual onig depends on the 6 days beforehand, how much we prepared for Shabbos. The level of our neshama yetera prepares on our preparation for Shabbos. If you prepare for Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos, your onig on Shabbos is according to your preparation for Shabbos. So someone who doesn't prep for Shabbos, lo yochel b'Shabbos, he won't have the hasaga of Shabbos.
Beautiful.
According to this, you understand why the Ra is represented by Eish. Because you can only have process when you have a choice of good and bad. When you are given just good, there's no process. Shabbos represents the being given of the good that you prepared for Shabbos. So the weekday can only be the day of process, and only there can be Ra. Because there's choice. You have to choose the good over the bad. You have to prepare. Shabbos, there's no Ra. Shabbos, you're where you are because of the process you did on the 6 days. Now it says here, there's a Rabbeinu Mechayah, which says here, it says, Sheshet Yamim Te'aseh Melocha. You should do Melocha. It doesn't say Ta'aseh Melocha, it says Te'aseh Melocha. Melocha will be done for you, says the Rabbeinu Mechayah. Remez here, there's a remez here. When the Jewish people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, they're doing Torah and Mitzvahs, even the Melocha on the 6 days, Te'aseh, will be done by others. Even in the process, if we in the process are connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu, our mundane melachos will be Te'aseh melacha, will be done for us. If Chas V'Shalom, we're not involved in connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu in the process, then it will be Ta'aseh melacha, then the melacha will be done by us. That's also what's hinted here in the psukim here.
That's like